Hare Krishna. Jaini Tagor in itself is a mantra. Yes? There is a nice point in Chaitanya Bhagavatam. It says that if one properly celebrates the appearance of Gauranga and Nityananda. So Nityananda we already had some weeks ago. Such a person develops love of Godhead and cuts the knots of material illusion. Hare Krishna. So here is some incentive for us to celebrate. And how do you properly observe? You celebrate. So this is what you plan to do on Thursday, to celebrate the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I guess this is what Jaini Tagore does every day, because he celebrates Jai. Happy birthday, Prabhu. We are very lucky. We are born. Actually, yes, a few days ago I read a joke. We are very lucky to not be born in the 17th century. And the friend is asking, why? He says, because we would be dead by now. Is not the reason. The reason we are lucky is that we are born in one very special era, which comes once in 4 billion years. So this universe is periodically created and destroyed. It's coming out of great Vishnu, Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, and again withdrawn, and one day of Brahma lasts 4,320,000,000 years, and there are 994 cycles in this one day, about almost 1,000 cycles in this one day. And we are lucky to have been born in exactly that cycle when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared about 500 years ago. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in 1486 on this Purnima, Palguni Purnima in springtime. It was a very special occasion. And Chaitanya Bhagavat also says that whosoever means anybody, hears narrations about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth, is freed from all miseries in life and in death. Hare Krishna. This is verse 48. I don't know which chapter. This is Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Krishna comes. This is also one feature which is unique to Vedic culture. Our time in this world goes in circles, cyclical time, and Krishna says about this in the Bhagavad Gita. There is one very famous verse. So it's whoever has seen the TV series on Mahabharata, you have heard this verse. It comes in the beginning of every series and in the end and in the middle in some dramatic moment. And some years ago there was a song by Boy George who sang, "Bow down, Mister, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, if you remember. So there was also in the background at one moment some Indian lady singing Yuge Yuge Hidharma Sya Glanir Bhavati Bharatam Abhyutanam Adharma Sya Sambhavam Tadatmam Srijamyaham. So this is the verse you might have heard. And in that verse, so this verse, in this verse, Krishna says, Yuge Yuge. In cycle after cycle, in era after era, whenever religion is declining, in decline, being destroyed, and irreligion rises, I come myself through my internal energy. And in the purport Srila Prabhupada, this is Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, and this is verse 7, famous verse. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. And in this in that purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, who came bring a very suitable explanation of religion and a very suitable practice of religion. In this seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, where different processes for perfection are described, it is mentioned that there was a time when people achieved perfection just by meditating. Who has ever tried any form of meditation? I'm sure all of you have tried some form of meditation. Who has experienced that meditating is not always so easy? So that was experienced also by other people before. And it says that there are these four ages: Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. So Satya, age of truth. Greeks had something similar, a golden age, and then silver age, bronze age, and the iron age. So we are in the iron age, therefore don't be surprised by some of the... Kali, the name of this age is quarrel. This is the age of quarrel. People quarrel for no good reason. They don't need any good reason. It can be invented. It says in the Bhagavatam, even brothers can quarrel over one kakini coin. So it sounds very funny. It's a small coin, and it's also called kakini, which in many languages has some similar sounding. It sounds similar to something useless. Kakini. And so even brothers can become enemies because of this. No reason. So before that, in Satya Yuga, the process was meditation. But then the sages have noticed that people do not have peaceful minds. And if you study Yoga Sutra, if you ever read Yoga Sutra, you can see that the first rule of yoga is ahimsa. Ahimsa meaning non-violence, not harming anybody, not giving suffering to anybody. Nectar of Devotion explains that ahimsa means, it's also one of the rules in bhakti. It's mentioned in 64 elements of bhakti in the Nectar of Devotion, that a devotee doesn't give suffering to others either by body or by words, and even in the mind. Even in the mind, the devotee doesn't want others to suffer. So the first rule of yoga is ahimsa, or non-violence. Many commentators say that all the other rules come out of this one rule, ahimsa, that they are just different expansions of this one rule, ahimsa. And these are social rules. So you can see that these rules refer to interaction with other people. You can be violent in connection with somebody, right? Violent or give suffering, that means in relationships with somebody else. And if we are not living in a proper environment, non-violent environment, then our mind will be disturbed, and we cannot properly meditate. It's very difficult to meditate. So therefore, it's very important to follow this rule. And the sages have noticed that this rule is being lost. There is freedom from violence. So therefore, they introduced some other methods. So the next method that was introduced was big sacrifices, big fire sacrifices. Sometimes you may see on some festivals you have sacrifices. Don't be scared. We don't sacrifice. I mean, we are. I remember in one of our temples, in one of the temples I lived in, we had one devotee, like about 2 meters tall, very well developed boy, and somebody just dropped by the door. And this was some festival. We actually had some sacrifice on that day to celebrate. this devotee looked at the guest and said, "Oh, welcome! It's very good. You came just in good time. You will do just fine. You know, we have a sacrifice right now starting in the temple room. Would you like to please come to the sacrifice?" So the person said, I'm sorry, I need to go somewhere. And he ran away, unfortunately. That was not a very successful introduction to Krishna consciousness in that particular case. Because the person, you know, people have some misconceptions about what is, what can a sacrifice be. So those who have seen what we burn in the sacrifice is grains, some grains, we throw grains, swaha, and there is ghee, which means clarified butter. So there were many different types of sacrifices, but then again, it's not so easy to arrange properly. There are some sacrifices, like for example, there is one famous sacrifice, Soma Yagya. And today people don't even know well how to do it. And the last time it was performed, 12-day Soma Yagya, was performed in 1974. It was filmed, and that's I think our Radha Govinda Prabhu has that video from that sacrifice, 12-day Soma Yagya sacrifice. Some sacrifices, like Ashwamedha sacrifice, also very famous, last time was performed 1776 by the king of Jaipur. So they are not something recommended. So therefore, the next step was introduced was the temple worship. Temple worship. Yeah? So we come to the temple and we worship in the temple. We see the Lord, so you have seen before, then the curtains will be open, and you can meditate on the Lord. And Prabhupada says that this is not different from meditation, because in meditation you are supposed to meditate on every detail in your heart. You meditate on the Lord in your heart. So here, the Lord makes it easier because you can see the Lord on the altar. And you can meditate on him, looking at him on the altar. Sarvabhauma Prabhu, one devotee from Vrindavan, Prabhupada disciple, told a story once how he saw a local lady, old local lady, coming to the temple. She came to the temple, and then she left. She was leaving. She left. She sat outside the temple, and then after that she went back in. So he asked, "Mother, why are you why did you go back in for the second time? Usually people, you know, come in and go out, but you went in for the second time." So she said, "I forgot what turban Krishna wears today." So it turns out that she comes, she looks at the deities, she comes out, she sits and she meditates. She remembers, how did the Lord look today? How the Lord looks today. So it's a very advanced meditation. It's actually a meditation. And Srila Prabhupada says that by worshipping the Lord in the temple, you get the same benefit as yogis get by meditation. Only easier. Only it is easier when you meditate on the Lord. However, still, the sages have, the seventh canto describes that the sages have noticed that people have sometimes bad relationships with each other. So therefore, actually each next step was introduced because of mind which is not sufficiently peaceful. And it's not peaceful because of bad relationships with other people. So therefore, the last word in yoga, the last method which is the most powerful and which can overcome every obstacle, has been brought by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he appeared about 500 years ago, and he has personally taught the most practical method. You are all yogis, advanced yogis, and so certainly you don't have enemies, but you can think of somebody. Is there somebody who you don't have a perfect relationship with? You know, like there's a perfect relationship, yes, okay, everything is very good, and there is someone who is a little less than perfect, or the opposite. Or if you have enemies, think of your enemies. Hare Krishna. Of course, you don't have, but somebody may think that they are your enemy. Now you can imagine the best possible beautiful kirtan, like now in Mayapur we had Kirtan Mela, and Mayapur is a wonderful place where you have devotees from the whole world and thousands of devotees come together and sing Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that he is flying on the wings of kirtan. So you can fly on the wings of kirtan. So, if you are in such a kirtan, would it be acceptable if that person who, as they say, plays on your nerves, who is who you have less than perfect relationship with, if he's also somewhere in that same kirtan, would it be okay? Is it tolerable? Can you tolerate it? So, you can see, this is the perfect method. So even if with somebody we might have trouble cooperating for service in the temple, what to speak about some sacrifice? We would have maybe sometimes difficulty cooperating. But we can still be together in a kirtan. And we can still together, maybe in the different corners of the room, okay, that's accepted, but still, in the same kirtan, we can sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a great gift given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, singing together the holy names of Krishna. And he has come to teach personally this very powerful method. So for many years he lived in Navadvip. Now these funny things that you can see there on the windows, they are actually two lotuses which and these shining things, these are the lotus whorls. If you haven't seen, then you can come. We still have a few days. You can come in at around 5:45 in the morning, and there is they are assembled into lotuses. There we have two lotuses here, and these are, they symbolize the lotus of Navadvip. So this is the, and there is discussion. So Ranganitai Prabhu is has prepared these wonderful, how do you call them? Not transcendental parikramas, these journeys, journeys through Navadvip. And Ananda Prabhu. So this is where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, and you can still see many of the places where he performed these amazing pastimes. From childhood, from the very birth, he took birth on the full moon, and everybody was singing the holy names on that day because it was a moon eclipse. So on that day, people try to counteract the influence by singing the holy names. So everybody was singing the holy names. You can still see that in India when you have an eclipse, then people usually go to a holy river and they sing the holy names. Certainly, those who follow the Vedas, they do this, and even those who follow other paths, it says that even Muslims were singing the names because they were saying, look at these Hari Haris, they are all there and singing Hari Hari. So they were also singing Hari Hari, and it also counts. So that is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and this brought peace and special mood to everybody's mind. And then in his childhood he performed many pastimes. He was, once there was a big snake which came into the courtyard, and little Nimai did not show any fear of that snake. He lied down on the snake. And then the parents saw. Can you imagine that your child lies down on a snake? on the cover? But the snake peacefully tolerated and then went away. And another time, so they say it was Ananta Shesha. Another time, two thieves saw that this boy has a lot of jewelry. And they thought, it's an easy mark, easy victim, right? He's just a little. So they said, oh, little boy, we will buy you sweets. You want some sweets? We'll give you sweets. So they took the boy and they gave him sweets, actually, you know. They did go and buy sweets. And they decided to carry him. So they were carrying him and they wanted to carry him quickly home. So they were carrying this boy, Nimai, little Nimai, and they were carrying, and then they were thinking that, what is this? We cannot get home very quickly. Something strange. Anybody was going through streets of Navadvip these days? Anybody was? Sometimes I go there and I'm lost there. You were there are many similar streets. So these guys, meanwhile, Nimai was gone, so everybody became very worried. So the parents became worried. You can imagine if your 2-year-old or 1.5-year-old boy has disappeared, you would naturally become worried and you would ask the neighbor. I mean, you would be very worried. You would ask the neighbors, our boy is gone. So everybody was looking for him. And then at that moment, they noticed two suspiciously looking guys with the baby with Nimai in their hands. And they said, oh, look, he's there. So they have noticed, oh, everybody's looking at us. Oh, we are. And it turned out that they lost their way and they went all the way around and came again back to Nimai's house. And the neighbor said, oh, you have, where did you find him? And he said, well, he was in the street, you know, and he decided we have to help, you know. So they said, oh, thank you so much. please take a reward, take some, he even gave them some reward. And Nimai said, these are nice uncles, these two uncles, they carried me around, they gave me a nice ride, and they gave me sweets too. he took a ride using two thieves. There are many pastimes. That's when he was a little boy. You know, just wait till he grows a little bit. What he did then, that's a topic for a whole another discussion. How he started studying. So this in this incarnation, he was a pandit, Nimai pandit. Pandit means learned scholar. And he was showing pastimes as a scholar. He was so learned that at 16, he had his own school. At 16, he was already very famous, and he had many, many students. And not only that, he defeated Keshava Kashmiri. So, like nowadays, you have championships. Usually on TV, you see, you know, I mean, some sports, you know, some only sport. You don't see any type of, usually, you don't see much any type of a brain sport. Sometimes, somewhere, somebody, right? But usually,
chess.
Oh, okay, chess.
Quizzes.
Huh? Quizzes, yeah, some quiz, maybe sometimes. So, this was the pastime among the brahmanas, among the learned people in India. So they would go around and they would have competition in poetry, in grammar, in logic. And Navadvip is a famous seed for logic. It's if you find some, if you find any university textbook on Indian logic, you will see Navadvip mentioned. There's one famous Ingalls. So he mentions Navadvip as the seat of Navyanyaya. It's logic is complicated, and Navyanyaya, it's a new, it's a very developed school of logic. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was expert in that by age 16. And so he was teaching Sanskrit, and he was teaching logic, he was teaching all of these things. And so Keshava Kashmiri, Kashmiri means just from Kashmir. Kashmir is far north. And Kashmir is also famous for its Kashmir school of Sankhya. It's a Shaiva Sankhya. So we all know 24 elements of the material world in Kapila Sankhya. But in Kashmir, they add a few more. Basically, these are the same elements, but they add a few different types of liberated jivas of different levels, so they have more than, they have 34. Ajitendra in Pula has Krishna Kshetra Maharaja's textbook on Kashmiri Shaivism, so you can either go to Pula or ask him to lend it to you and you can read about this Kashmiri Shaivism. So it's a famous place for scholars, Kashmir. So this Keshava came and he was going around India challenging scholars, brahmanas. And when he came to Navadvip, they all got scared because he had a big list of brahmanas he had conquered. Vijaya Patra. So it means victory diploma. And he came to Navadvip. And this is a story which Prabhupada puts in the beginning of his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Basically, he puts a small Chaitanya Charitamrita in the beginning. And this is one of the stories which he describes in more detail. Because it's an important story to enter the Bhagavatam. Because it teaches, actually, humility. Teaches humility, which was the lesson that Keshava Kashmiri needed to learn. He learned many things. He knew many things. He could defeat everybody and anybody. But this was one lesson he needed also to learn. So when he came, all the local scholars they hid. They ran away. They said, "Oh, I'm sorry. You know, my auntie two villages away. He has some. She needs me there. I go there." And they all went away. And then they decided, okay, Why don't we arrange that this, the young Nimai Pandit, at that time he was something like 14 years, as far as I understand, or even younger, and he's famous, he's very intelligent, let him fight, let him have a match, have a competition with Keshava Kashmiri. So Keshava Kashmiri is coming with the elephants. It's like in today's circumstances, that would be like three limousines, you know. Just like you can imagine three limousines, you know, driving into this, you know, this, because, you know, the ego is so big that it doesn't fit a normal car, you know. It has to be a long car. Otherwise, you don't fit with your full ego, and even that is not enough. And you need several also, you know, some in front, some in the back. So that was the equivalent, you know, several elephants and orchestra. You know, there were many musicians. So nowadays, that's, I don't even know what's the equivalent. I don't know, a few trucks with the orchestra playing, you know, it's... So everybody had, so no doubt was left that this is a big man, you know, it's a big person. So he came, and he just entered. And Nimai Pandit was on the Ganga bank, on the bank of the river, with his students, a few dozen students. And Keshava Kashmiri asked around, and they said, oh, Nimai is there. He's the person. So he came, and he said, so you are Nimai, yes? I heard about you. They said that I should talk to you first. Because the pandits thought that, okay, if he wins, then we can always say, anyway, that was just a, you know, young boy, he's not the real Navadvip professor, you know. And if he loses, then he can say, you see, even a child from Navadvip can defeat. It was a good tactic, strategy for that. Nimai Pandit humbly said, they say I am learned, but actually I just started learning grammar. And in that also I'm not very good. Even though he was so powerful that he could defeat anybody in Navadvip, people would run away from him, like Mukunda, because, and some others. And everybody was praying, oh, he's so intelligent, may he become a Vaishnava, he's wasting his intelligence, not using it for learning about God, for becoming a devotee. He could prove one thing, and challenge everybody, then he could take the same thing and prove the opposite, and again challenge everybody, and then he would take the same thing and prove again the opposite, and several times like that. So he was speaking very humbly about himself. And so then he said to Keshava Kashmiri, okay, maybe you can, we are on the bank of the Ganga, maybe you can compose some prayers about the Ganga. And Keshava Kashmiri, how did he get his power? He was worshipping Saraswati, the goddess of learning. So she would enter his throat when he spoke. So he, on the spot, composed 100 beautiful verses in glorification of the Ganga. Who has ever written a poem? Okay. Some maybe for somebody it's a secret, you know. Maybe it's the first time that people learn that you write poetry. Sometimes. Did you have to think of it? Who needed to think a little, choosing a rhyme or a word or counting? So, yeah. So Keshava Kashmiri was so expert, he, on the spot, like the tornado, it says, he was able to speak all of the hurricane, all the verses. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yeah, this is nice. How about verse number 63, 64? Can you please tell what's the good sides and what are the defects in that verse?
Defects, there's no defects there.
The good sides, there is alliteration like that, there is assonance like that, and there is, you know, these ornaments like this. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited that verse, and he said, besides what you mentioned, it also has that ornament, this ornament, and this ornament. But also it has a defect of redundancy, tautology, you know? Repetition, unnecessary repetition. It also has unclear subject, and he mentioned five defects of this verse. Keshava Kashmiri was so shocked, he couldn't speak. It was a first time for him, you know. He just said, how did you even remember that verse? And the Mai Pandit said, well, some people, by the blessings of the Lord, can speak poetry. Some people can remember. Same Lord, same source of all the powers. So Keshava Kashmiri went home, crushed, destroyed, smashed completely, humiliated. All the people gathered on the bank, they started laughing at him. Ha 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 ha. Nimai Pandit said, shh, no, please don't laugh, please don't laugh. He is a great scholar. He stopped them. He stopped everybody. He stopped his students. So Keshava Kashmiri went home and he couldn't sleep, naturally. He started praying to Saraswati. In the morning, Saraswati comes and says, why are you complaining? Why are you complaining? My blessings that I give you are coming from him. He's the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the source of everything. If he wants, he will find defects and faults in my poetry, even though I am a goddess of poetry. There's no problem for him to do this. You better go and surrender to him. So early in the morning, you know, just as all the pious people get up to do their meditation, Gayatri, Japas, bath, and other pious activities, he ran to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he fell at his feet and he surrendered. So he got true blessings of Saraswati. And the tradition describes that he became that Keshava, who is a great author of Kramadipika and other famous books from the Nimbarka Sampradaya. There are some important Vaishnava books, so they say he's the one, he's that person. So he was defeated and he got mercy, he surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is one story which Prabhupada puts in full. Also this story is both in Chaitanya Charitamrita and in Chaitanya Bhagavata, interestingly enough, one of few stories which completely is there in both books, because usually Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami avoids repeating full stories. But here he gave the whole verse. He actually gave the whole verse. And he gave all the detail, which you can find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it teaches us the necessary entry for entering Srimad Bhagavatam, the path of worshipping the Lord, which is humility. And it certainly helps to achieve success in the Yuga Dharma, the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the best method, the most suitable method, which overcomes all the obstacles, inner and outer. It says it is the sure way, free from fear, akutobhayam, chanting as we can chant in a few minutes, in Gaurarati and after Gaurarati, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Wishing everybody well, being humble, at least tolerating whatever needs to be tolerated, and continuing on this path for the pleasure of the Lord. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any burning question or doubt? Before we... One person... Okay, Luca Prabhu.
sometimes it seems that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu act a little bit strangely. Maybe one could begin to think of it, maybe it goes something like in Sahajya Mood a little bit. Maybe you could explain about it.
You mean like like for Nityananda Prabhu, like dancing naked? That type of?
Just one of many.
Ta-da! Read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavata. There are many cases which are strange. So there is inner use and outer use. Outer use is that there are amazing, extravagant things they were doing. So please buy Chaitanya Charitamrita and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Shop is there. Inner use, that for Navadvip Vasis, people living in Navadvip, or for them it was expression of their ecstasy. In ecstasy, you know, when you're in ecstasy, you do all kinds of things. You know, you don't think logically. You're in ecstasy. But for the Navadvip Vasis, that also helped to always be absorbed. This is the easy way to be absorbed in meditation. Because he performs all kinds of pastimes, like Krishna in Vrindavan helps bridge buses. For example, he comes, like you make nice yogurt. First you get milk, best milk. Then you turn it into yogurt. Then you know, yogurt means special temperature has to be there. Proper number of hours. Yeah, what, you know the temperature? You can put the knuckle, not the nail, the knuckle into the milk and chant only one Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's 10 seconds, which means about 60 degrees, between 60 and 70 degrees temperature. So that's when you add yogurt and leave it for 12 hours. And then it becomes proper yogurt and the whole thing. Then you turn it into butter. Then that butter you put on fire, make it into ghee. And then you do all of this, you think Krishna is so amazing. And then you put it in a nice place, in the storage. And then you discover that the pot is broken and somebody left butter footprints of this size next to this butter. And sometimes you even catch Krishna doing this. Yes? Let's not start that, because then we will never finish discussing this. But the point is that they cannot stop thinking about Krishna. The object of your meditation performs activities which catch your mind, making meditation easy, sweet, and continuous for the lucky people who are there. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you so much.